The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. On this Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, we look at the cross from a different perspective. On Good Friday, we look at what brought the cross about, which is our sins. Our sins brought about the cross. Christ died on that cross for us that we might have eternal life, that we may get to heaven. But today, on this feast, we look not at the cause of what put Christ on the cross. We look at the effects of what the cross has done for our life and for the whole world. The cross has had serious effects. The crucifix, Jesus Christ crucified, has had tremendous effects on the life of the world that we might not have taken into account lately. One of the things you notice that whenever there is a solemn procession, we are always led by a cross bearer. Someone is always carrying the cross or Jesus crucified, and it leads the way. Now, those who don't know much about our faith or about Christianity would think it's kind of strange to have as our leader in a procession a man who was crucified from the standpoint of history as a criminal. It seems to be quite a, if you will, gross type of use of a symbol. Why would we be following a man who is nailed to a piece of wood? And that would be a good question. And the answer to that is very simple. That the one who is nailed to the cross is the Son of God. And everything God touches, he changes. And we hear in the second reading, Jesus, who is truly God, did not grasp at being God. He did not fall away or turn away from the fact of the cross. It was freely given to him. He freely accepted it out of love. And he was nailed to it for our salvation. He gave us the greatest gift he could ever give, which is giving us our life back. That is what we recognize when we see that being carried forward. There's an ancient hymn that was written for this feast day. Vexilla regis proteunt. There goes the standard of the king. The standard of the king, the flag, the symbol of what it is and who it is that we are. And for us, it is Christ crucified. Because we see of the effects that simple action, that tremendous outpouring of love has had for our human nature, has had for the whole world. And if you look to the Old Testament, you begin to see all the things that foreshadowed it. We heard, first of all, the story today in the book of Numbers, where people got a little bit full of God. They were upset with God not giving them everything that they wanted. Now, they were getting everything they needed. They just didn't get everything that they want. Different things. And their rejection of God had effects. Namely, being bitten by serpents and dying. And yet, in the midst of all this rejection of God, God said, "You will be saved if you simply look at this image that was put on a pole that Moses held up." And they looked at that image and they were healed. Just physically, though, because we find out time and time again, Israel keeps falling into the same sin over and over again. There's another image in the book of Numbers that we might not be too familiar with, but that is when the Israelites come upon a stream of water, but the water is bitter, it's undrinkable. And so the Lord commands Moses to put his wooden staff into that water, to put that wood into the water, and the water now becomes drinkable. But we see in our Christian faith, it's not a staff that's put in that water now. The waters of evil, the waters of our rejection of God, the waters out of which we were born have now been sanctified and purified by the cross. That cross has been thrust into the water. And in doing that, God has purified it in the waters of baptism. He's given us a second chance. He's given us new life. It gives us a new purpose for living in the world. So that's the first great effect that the cross has for us. It gives us life, real life. And this is everlasting life, whereas with the Jews, when they were healed from the bite of the serpent, they simply continued to live their mortal lives until they died. But for us, with the cross being thrust into these waters, we're given everlasting life. That yes, we will die physically, but we know we will live with God forever. Quite a great gift. But there's still even more than that. And that is, the cross tells us the effect of suffering. We as Christians, we as human beings, know that no matter what we do, we're going to suffer. Because what is tied intrinsically to suffering is love. If we love, we're going to suffer. Because if we put ourselves out for someone else and give our lives to someone else, whether it's a spouse or our children, there's going to be times when they'll break our heart or they'll disappoint us or they'll be in such pain and suffering, and we can't take that away. And that's going to cause us to suffer. And so we often have two possible responses to that. The first response is the one that the world tells us is the right response, and that is to take that cross away. And in our gut, we know that might be a good idea. But let me tell you what that idea looks like today, because it's not a very pleasant idea. You know, we know of the fact in our culture that if someone, for instance, is elderly and suffering from various illnesses, how do we offer to take their cross away? Euthanize them. Call in old Dr. Kevorkian and kill them. Not exactly the best way to solve the problem, in my opinion. Another thing, and this has become very prominent in the news lately with all the political baloney going on right now, and that is the idea of a woman who isn't married being pregnant with a child, or being pregnant with a child who has some type of handicap, physical or mental, and oftentimes the doctor or the friends of the person will say, just abort the child. Get rid of that cross. It's not worth it. That's oftentimes our response. But that's the same response that St. Peter told the Lord when the Lord said, the Son of Man will be handed up, and on the third day he will be killed and crucified. On the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. And Peter said, don't let that happen, Lord. And we know what Jesus told him, because we just heard it 2 weeks ago. Get behind me, Satan. Let nothing get in the way of the cross that we have been given. Because that cross, for it to be our salvation, to be our life, has to be a cross that we carry. We can't get rid of it. What we can do, and what as Christians we're obligated to do, is to take on the role of old Simon of Cyrene, which is to help people carry their crosses, to give them the support and the encouragement they need, the time they need, to help them carry whatever burdens they're carrying, so that when our burdens are heavy, they may do the same for us. And so the reason that cross is held so high is not because it just gives us life, but because it teaches us that the suffering that we go through in this life, that the hardship and misunderstanding we encounter, that the pain we experience has a meaning. And that meaning is far beyond anything in this world. It's about laying our life before God and saying, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. And by giving everything over to God, God will raise it up. And so on this great feast of the exaltation of the cross today, we see many great gifts. But the last is the greatest. And that is the gift of the Holy Eucharist, because when the Son of God was nailed to that cross, he gave us his body for our food and his blood for our drink. And as that cross is planted into our heart at baptism, when we die Christ's death at baptism, it opens up for us now the gift of receiving Christ's own life, not just the life of grace of the Holy Spirit, but the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, himself. That we come today raising the standard of the cross, and when we leave today, when we leave, having received the body and blood of Christ, we are truly living crucifixes. That we take up that cross when we take up the body and blood of the Lord. In him we receive peace. In him we receive hope and strength and encouragement. But we recognize in this world that this world is not over, and there's going to be joys and there's going to be sorrows. But for us to survive, for us to flourish, for us to find real holiness, is going to have to come by letting that cross take place in our heart. And as we receive the body and blood of our Lord today, that's what happens. God himself recognizes the weights and the burdens and the sufferings that we carry, and he seeks to help us carry them, to help us recognize when he does carry them with us that the burdens are lighter. And that by a life of prayer, of daily prayer, of asking the Lord for his grace to know his will and to see life as it really is, to have what I call a clarity of vision, we begin to see our problems aren't as big as we think they are. That the hills aren't quite so tall. But rather, God is there to be our comfort. God is there to be our strength. But God is also there to help us move forward, to keep climbing that hill of Calvary, because we know we will only know this glory that has been promised to us in heaven if we carry that cross now on earth. So as we receive those gifts today, as we receive the body and blood of our Lord, as we know that Christ suffers with us and in us through his cross, and as we know the new life that is given to us by Christ crucified, may we embrace it with all our hearts. And may we be a witness to the world that wants to discard the cross or turn the cross simply into a piece of jewelry, some insignificant symbol. But let everyone know that for us it's more than just a piece of jewelry to decorate us, but rather it's our life, it's our hope. It's all that we have in this world that ties us to Jesus Christ. And as we bind ourselves to it, we bind ourselves more fully to him.